Good morning. This is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. Well, we have a variety of new things always on our website. One of the things that I want to highlight this week is our May edition of the Science of Parenting blog from our family specialists at the Iowa State University Extension Office on campus. We have family life specialists that run the monthly Science of Parenting blog, and the topic for the month of May is summer camp. We know that school is winding down and lots of opportunities and activities our children can participate in as we head into the summer months, whether it's 4-H camp, one of our personal favorites, sports camp, music camp, or other summer adventures. There's lots of fun. But we talk a little bit more about some of the intrinsic values to some of those camp activities. Our family life specialists will examine the research and discuss how to help children choose an appropriate camp. They'll talk about practical matters, such as whether camp fits in the family's budget and scheduling through the summer, as well as how to handle anxiety, homesick kids, or other issues that may come up when talking about both day camps and sleepaway camps. According to the American Camping Association, more than 8 million kids attend summer camp every year. So obviously these are an attractive summer activity for many families. This webcast, blog, and podcast will take a look at the research on how these camp experiences contribute to the healthy development of young people. For more information, you can log on to the Iowa State University Extension webpage, type in Science of Parenting, and you'll be taken straight to the blog. At the top of the blog will be a 4-minute podcast or video where you can watch the basic information and the discussion that the specialists are presenting. There is also a blog as well as several discussion forums on there where folks can ask questions, get answers from family specialists, as well as contact information so they can contact specialists directly if they have questions. Parents, grandparents, or anyone interested in this topic are invited to join in the conversation, share their thoughts and experiences, and discuss how they handle all the responsibilities of parenting. And of course, this is a monthly updated topic, but many past topics are archived and available for reviewing on that website as well. So that is the Science of Parenting resource available from ISU Extension. Log on and learn more today. The other thing with summer camp coming up, lawn mowing. Many folks out there getting that task done this past weekend or even before. If you're wondering how to do that or some best tips, that's the topic of this week's yard and garden topic from ISU Extension horticulture specialists. We all know that proper mowing plays a vital role in helping to maintain a healthy and sustainable home lawn. A few common topics include, what is the proper mowing height for a lawn? Kentucky bluegrass or some sort of mix related to that is a very common type of lawn for Iowa. If you have a Kentucky bluegrass or mixed lawn, mowing at a height of about 2.5 to 3 inches in the spring and fall months is a good place to start. If you're just getting to mowing your lawn, you may want to start a little bit higher and then go back in a few days and mow it back down to that height. As you get into the summer, you might want to go up a little bit in height, 3 to 3.5 inches through the June, July, and August months, as this higher mowing height helps cool the crowns of the turf grass, encourages deeper rooting, and provides more leaf area for photosynthesis and growth during those stressful and hot summer months. Mowing below this recommended range may scalp the turf and cause the turf grass to deteriorate. Remember, you do need a good amount of that green blade on there in order for the plant to stay healthy and alive. Low mowing heights also make the turf grass more susceptible to drought injury and also may increase the likelihood of weed problems as it opens up more bare spots of grass and turf rather to get the weeds established. On the other hand, if you mow too high, That will reduce the tillering and cause matting down of the grass. This results in fewer plants and coarser plants, whereas if you keep it mowed to a good height on a regular basis, you'll have a variety of small, even, fine grass plants that will have a very good underfoot feel. The matted grass can create a microenvironment that encourages disease development. So if your air can't get through your grass, you could have some disease problems going on with your grass. If you're wondering how often you should be mowing the lawn, if you're mowing your Kentucky bluegrass lawn at a height of 2.5 to 3 inches in spring and fall, you never want to remove more than 1/3 of the total leaf surface at any time. So again, if you've put off mowing a little bit this year, don't immediately knock it down to 2.5 inches or as low as you can go, because you might be cutting off a half or more of the total leaf surface, which can stress the grass plant a little bit. For example, if you need to maintain your lawn at about 3 inches, you should never cut your grass when it's taller than 4.5 inches. So never let it get taller than 4.5 inches before you cut it if you want to maintain a 3-inch lawn. Mowing frequency should be based on the growth rate of the turf grass. Consider weather conditions, cultural practices such as fertilizing and irrigation, and other factors. These Kentucky bluegrass mixes and other cool season grasses grow very quickly in spring when weather conditions are favorable, so you may need to mow more frequently, and the growth of these will slow significantly in summer and then pick up again in fall. You should fertilize and irrigate your lawn on a regular basis if you want to promote good hardy turf grass growth. In spring, it may be necessary to mow every 4 to 5 days, and maybe only every week or less in summer, picking up again in the fall when the cool weather kicks in and revitalizes that grass. Another common question is when should you remove the grass clippings? If the lawn is properly and regularly mowed, grass clippings do not need to be removed or bagged. These small clippings filter down into the turf and quickly decompose, returning many of those nutrients to the soil. Lawn clippings also do not significantly contribute to thatch or other matting problems. If you are just starting out now with mowing your lawn and it's very tall, you may want to bag or rake it the first time through. And again, in general, if you've got weather that precludes you from mowing for a couple weeks and your grass gets very tall, bagging or raking it to prevent it matting down might be a good practice. You may also want to bag the grass clippings occasionally and use them as mulch in vegetable or flower gardens. The only caution there would be to make sure you're not introducing weed seeds to your flower or vegetable garden, and also make sure you haven't recently treated your lawn with some sort of chemical that may damage the flower or vegetable plants if it washes off the leaves of your grass. For more information on yard and garden families and parenting and beyond, give us a call at the Cass County Extension Office, 243-1132. Stop by the office or find us online anytime. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson for the Cass County Extension Office.